Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Lee, your host. Thank you very much for spending some of your Saturday with me. It was a pretty long week. A lot was actually happening. I don't know where to start with it, but I guess I'll start with the posting that I had for this particular show. I want to get into what exactly why are we going to get into yet another war? Why? But there are some loose ends, or not loose ends, some serious matters that I want to discuss before that. But let me read what I started the show with. It goes as follows. This was a busy, very busy week. It was a very political week. Of course, the Supreme Court came down with its ruling that corporations cannot, I repeat, corporations cannot patent naturally occurring human genes. Very, very important. This is much bigger than many would think, because it's, in effect, prevent corporations from taking the last vestige of any kind of freedom that Americans have. I mean, it's funny that the others, those on the right, like to talk about freedom yet support these types of policies. It sometimes seems a bit nonsensical, but that is the way it is. I see somebody already has their hands up before I got reading my blog, so let me just bring that person in. 832, I'm bringing you in. How are you doing today? 832, I didn't put.
Hey, how are you doing there, Roberto?
All right, who am I speaking to?
This is Pankage. What you been up to?
Hey, Pankage, how you doing, buddy? Nice to hear from you, and thank you for listening.
Did you get my latest blog on your Facebook page? Did you get a chance to look at the article? It is just too good.
When did you send it?
I sent it to you about a few days ago. I'm surprised you haven't actually read it.
Well, what you got? Let me tell you what happens sometimes, Pankage. Yeah. What happens is, I get so much information pasted all over my, not only my blog, but my feed a lot of times that I don't get to it. Or sometimes I put it aside and say, I'm going to get to it a little later. And you know what happens when you do that? Sometimes you lose track of what all the different things that you promised yourself to do. What was it about anyway?
Well, it's about the fact that we are entering a global age. We are entering a golden age, believe it or not. In the next few months, and in 2014, there is this global alliance. Okay, this global alliance of 138 nations. They are going to defeat and bring down what I would call the Illuminati, or the shadow governments, or like this New World Order. And this is an alliance that started on February of 2008. And what you're going to find is that the NSA scandal is like only the tip of the iceberg, and it's only going to lead to better things. And I'm going to give you the website. It's already gotten 94,000 hits already within about a week.
Instead of giving me the website, actually, yeah, that would be a good thing. I was going to ask you to give me otherwise, but what I'm going to do is, I'm going to just add it to the folks, for those in the chat. I'm about to open a chat. I actually forgot to open a chat when I got started. So folks, if you tempted to get them. The chat is actually open now. What's the
believe
link?
Me, they will want to read it, definitely. It's a must
right,
read.
Cool. Practically. Give it to me, Pankage.
Okay. It's www.divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, cosmos, cosmos.com. And you will be, and read the latest article. It says, How Our National Nightmare is Almost Over, Part 1. It's good news.
All right, let me
just
ask you one thing. I understand that, and I understand that you like this and so forth. Did you actually verify some of the sources that you found in this particular article? And I haven't read it myself, folks, but I'm putting it
here. It's all over there. The links are all over there. Anything you can imagine.
Okay.
And you've got more than enough information to where it can last for eternity. Guaranteed, the links and the proof and the evidence and the sources.
You think it? Okay, let me go ahead and get busy with getting started. Pinkish, I got a couple of blogs that I want to read. I know we're going to talk about Syria, war, and that sort of thing. But beforehand, I want to close up some loose ends with healthcare, with Obamacare that sort of hit me this week, and I really want to read two specific healthcare blogs that I wrote this week.
You
and
know, speaking
can...
of healthcare, Antonio, I've got a really interesting thing that I read on Yahoo that I want to share with you. It says that Walmart is actually, and a lot of companies are putting their employees part-time and temporary so that they don't have to pay the fee for Obamacare. So has it really been a good thing?
Let's put that on hold until after I get through the preamble to the show, and then we can get started with that. I have two blogs that I wrote this week that there are several, but I'll start with the two healthcare ones because I want to get that healthcare stuff out of the way so we can get into Syria. But so I'm going to put you back down your mic, get through with my blog, and then we can get into our weekly interaction. And again, folks, remember the number is 646-929-2495. Pankage is a longtime caller, so he remembered that if he wanted to talk, he pushed that one so that I can see that he wants to get engaged. Anyone calling, always feel free to hit one so that you can talk so that we can put you on live. But let's go ahead and get started. The first thing I want to read is tell you a little bit about what happened to me this week. It goes as follows. This week was a very busy week. It was a very political week. I spent over 5 hours at the University of Houston, where a group of congresspersons were purported to discuss coming up with a legal redistricting map in Texas. You know, Texas is very gerrymandered. As one of the speakers said, it was a sham, firstly because it was held on a hard-to-access site where parking had to be paid for. Secondly, it was held on a weekday when most people are working. And gerrymandering in Texas, as you know, is so efficient that the Texas delegation no longer represents the people of Texas either culturally or philosophically. So what you see representing Texas in Washington or in the at-large races here in Texas has nothing to do with the population at large. It shows how mental suppression of a people can actually give a false impression of who has power in a particular state. If you look at most of the people out here, we have the worst voting record in the entire country. We are actually, I think it's 51st, even after Washington, D.C. Think about that. Worst voting record in the entire country. And as such, we get the representation that has many people around the country thinking we're kooky out here. We're not. Our folks just don't vote. President Obama seemingly as well caved under the pressure from the war hawks that are looking for the next war to keep the military-industrial complex flushed in profits and influence. It seems we're about to progressively get more involved in Syria. We continue to invest in destruction instead of in human capital and in infrastructure capital. Things of real value that help the many as opposed to the few. Then, lastly, today, yesterday, Texas Governor Rick Perry vetoed a bill that was meticulously crafted by Representative Sinfonia Thompson to ensure fair wages for women in Texas. The bill had bipartisan support, but Lord Perry killed it. All these things have national implications. But on Sunday, I saw a report on 60 Minutes that I think I had seen before, but it kind of opened up new light given the furthering of the discussion in Obamacare. And 908, let me just bring you in real quick to see if you want to say something quickly before I go to the Obamacare blog. 908, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
John from Jersey. How you been, buddy?
Hey, John from Jersey. Okay, buddy. Let me go ahead and get through with my blogs, and then we go live, and you know you'll be hot. Okay, buddy? Excellent. Now, let's see. The first one that I came up with was one that I titled Problem Not Obamacare, It's Healthcare Market Robbing Middle Class. And here's the proof. It goes as follows. This is not rocket science, folks. If a hospital is for profit, then hospitals will do what is necessary to increase their profits. It is a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. Those who want to maintain a virtually unregulated and expensive private healthcare system want Americans to keep their blinders on. They want Americans to disregard math, facts, historical data, and empirical data. They want to treat the healthcare system as if it is a market, a healthcare market in which products would be correctly priced based on supply and demand, private entities keeping costs down through competition. Insanity by many is defined as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Insane then defines those that continue to push and support America's virtual laissez-faire healthcare system. Simple math dictates that if there are many entities managing the payment of medical bills, each with its own bureaucracy, meaning CEO, president, board of directors, advertising, IT systems, share profits, etc., it is impossible for such an entity to be more efficient than one entity responsible for paying a medical bill. A single-payer system, a system where one entity is standardized to pay all medical bills that all abled Americans pay into, is much more efficient. It is arithmetic. It is basic arithmetic. Every industrialized country in the world except the United States has either a single-payer system or some form of it. Most of these countries have better outcomes than the U.S., and as much as they have better outcomes, they do it at a lower cost. The math evidence is absolute. For those who are predisposed to disregard math, the historical data is there as one compares healthcare between single-payer and universal care countries with the U.S. Today on 60 Minutes, meaning last Sunday, Steve Kraft, in his piece titled Hospitals, the Cost of Admission, provided empirical evidence to the reasons why a market-based healthcare system is inherently a failed system, a more expensive system. He starts his piece with the following statement. If you want to know why healthcare costs so much in this country, consider this. It is estimated that $210 billion a year, about 10% of all healthcare expenditures go towards unnecessary tests and treatment, and big chunk of that comes right out of the pockets of taxpayers because, you know, we have Medicare, Medicaid. So if those people are ripping us off, it is us who are paying for it. Transfer of wealth from the middle class to the very few. That says it all. Those unnecessary tests become the unearned income of the shareholders and owners of the labs and associated businesses. It is direct theft from American citizens that buy insurance and from American citizens that pay taxes. It is a transfer of wealth from the many to the few. It is for this reason there exists a misinformation campaign that is intent on having Americans believe the American healthcare system is the greatest, even though it is not. It is a high-stakes game and Americans' lives and treasure are at stake. The 60-minute piece can be summarized as follows. In order to maintain high profits, health management associates, hospital administrators forced doctors through coercion to admit patients to hospitals, whether they needed to or not. Additionally, they forcefully encouraged doctors to provide unnecessary tests. When one takes a car in to change the oil, the technician is trained to encourage you to change the filter and other incidentals. When the carpet man comes to clean your rug for $99, you know the upsell could double the price. You, however, have the option to say no, no serious worry of fatal consequence. Let me repeat that. You, however, have the option to say no with no serious worry of fatal consequences. You do not expect this from a healthcare system, as the patient generally cannot or will not say no. After all, this is their bodies, and it could be a life or death situation in their minds. It is for that reason, like this, or it is for reasons like this and many others, that healthcare cannot be considered a market like one would consider it in buying and selling of other products and services. To treat it that way is immoral. According to Croft, after the 60-minute piece aired, HMA's admission fell and their profits declined. Of course they did, because they were ripping folks off. While Obamacare will put more controls to protect the consumer, until a single-payer system is implemented to wring inefficiencies out of paying for health care, until doctors' education are subsidized to protect them against unbearable student loans, and until the government gets paid by drug companies for profits made on research paid for by the American taxpayer. The American healthcare companies for profit system will remain expensive and inefficient. It will remain nothing more than a wealth transfer engine to the shareholders of hospital, medical groups, insurance companies, and drug companies. Pretty simple. I mean, this is not anything complex, my friends. However, it is made complex in order to pilfer. Last blog, colonoscopy, a justification for Obamacare, but single payer is still best. And this one I have actual personal experience with, so a part of it is my story. Suffice it to say that anyone reading the above chart, and I have a chart, please go to the post that I sent out. I have a chart that shows the different pricings between what we pay for some things and what other countries pay, and also other cities, the difference in pricing with cities. Suffice it to say that anyone reading the above chart should be appalled. The chart above shows that Americans are paying much more for the same procedures, at times by several orders of magnitude higher. Sadly, within the U.S., pricing from one hospital to the next can have even larger variations. A colonoscopy is a case in point. It is perfect. It's a perfect illustration of what is wrong with the American form of administering healthcare. First, let me relay a short form of my personal story. As a small business owner, I purchased health insurance for the family after my wife stopped working. She stopped while pregnant with my 22-year-old daughter. I have had continuous health insurance for the family for 22 years, though as an engineer, a group plan. After the cost reached near $20,000 per year a few years back, I bailed into a catastrophic health plan for my daughter and me and a high-risk plan for my wife. She has lupus and could not be insured otherwise. When my daughter started college, I added the college's health insurance policy for my daughter. Yes, I had, or I still have, three different health insurance policies. That will be mitigated next year with the exchanges, of course. At that point, I'll get just one. In those 22 years, I have never had a colonoscopy for screening. And listen to this. Why? I knew it was time, But since no one in my family that I knew of had colon cancer, I figured it was a calculated risk. Not supposed to do that, but what's a calculated risk? Because under the old health insurance paradigm, I know if I had polyps, health insurance going forward could be rescinded or denied in the future. That was the type of insurance policies we had. With the advent of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, those fears were no longer there. Listen well, people. Those protections are there. It's not a perfect plan, but the protections are now there. First, the cost of the colonoscopy was covered by my insurance policy, and no matter what was found, I would still maintain my policy, and going forward, I could still shop for any other policy like anyone else, because they can no longer turn you down for pre-existing conditions, etc. This is real life here, folks. Suffice it to say, two polyps were removed, and it was the type that would have been, that over the years could have become cancerous. I think it is safe to say Obamacare saved me at least money and maybe my life. I mean, getting away from the blog, if that Obamacare had failed because of the current state of business, my own business, etc., I may have even delayed some more. Anyway, continuing. Decisions like mine are made by millions of Americans every year because of a failed healthcare system. The major culprit in treating the entire healthcare system like a market where goods and services are traded and priced based on supply and demand. Let me repeat that. The major cause of this is because we try to treat healthcare as supply and demand. That has been one of the most immoral practices of our country. If one doubts this, the following excerpt from the above-mentioned article is probative. Colonoscopies offer a compelling case study. They are the most expensive screening test that healthy Americans routinely undergo and often cost more than childbirth or an appendectomy in most developed countries. The numbers have increased manyfold over the last 15 years, with data from the Centers for Disease Control Prevention suggesting that more than 10 million people get them each year, adding up to more than $10 billion in annual cost. Largely an office procedure when widespread screening was first recommended, colonoscopies have moved into surgery centers, which were created as a step down from costly hospital care, but are now often a lucrative step up for doctors examining rooms, where they are billed like a quasi-operation. They are often prescribed and performed more frequently than medical just guidelines recommended. The high price paid for colonoscopies mostly results not from top-notch patient care, according to interviews with healthcare experts and economists, but from what? Business plans seeking to maximize revenues, haggling between hospitals and insurers that have no relation to the actual cost of performing the procedure, and lobbying, marketing, and turf battles among specialists that increase patient fees. The same colonoscopy procedure can range from just over $1,000 to over $9,000 if you are self-employed and with no insurance, you pay the higher rate. If you have the muscle of an insurance group, you may pay much less. If you have the muscle of we the people, your government, you would pay a price where theoretically gouging would not be allowed. Markets are good in some areas and immoral in others. The identity of a nation should be defined by the education, upward mobility, and health of its citizens. The acceleration towards privatization is increasingly putting the vast majority of the nation on the losing side of all three. It is reflected in citizens' aggregate education slippage relative to the rest of the world, diminished upward mobility, and aggregate poor healthcare outcomes. Obamacare is a fair compromise in a misinformed country where socialized medicine is still feared and a bad word. A single-payer system with cost control is best, notwithstanding all the countries with better health outcomes that follow that sensible model. Americans will eventually be forced to grow up. Americans will be forced to disregard the misinformation from the American plutocracy that pundit that profits from their ignorance. That profits from their ignorance. Anyone that cannot see numbers in the healthcare gain or healthcare game, my friend, stick with us. We'll keep talking. We'll keep talking till we turn different colors. John from Jersey, come on in, my brother.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Talk to me.
Just want to go over
like healthcare a little bit before we go to the real topic at hand, Syria. So
what's up?
Come on in with whatever you want.
Whatever I want, or that topic?
No, with healthcare, and then we'll move on to whatever you want.
Well, okay. If people, you know, say even like on Facebook or that kind of thing. All right, they say that healthcare should be like an industry to where it should be non-profitable. I don't know how anyone could see to that to say, as we are going to claim and will always keep claiming, that we're a capitalist nation. So for us to prescribe even some sort of communistic, I'm not saying what you're talking about, but some people who say that they should be non-profit in regards to healthcare. And I mean, it's not a possibility. That's not
Can
a
I
possibility.
Can I stop you there a second, John?
How some people think. Go ahead. Yeah.
Can I stop? Let me tell you how I would answer that. It's not mutually exclusive to be a capitalist country and at the same time be a humane country, a practical country, and an intelligent country. And what I mean by that is as follows. Isn't it true that we have a lot of nonprofits already in that's pretty big? I mean, we have a lot of foundations that spend billions of dollars every year. We have the Gates, Bill Gates Foundation. We have these.
But they're charities. They're charities.
I understand that they're charities. But I mean, what I'm saying is a capitalist society has no room for charities either. In other words, that's not within the model. The model of capitalism does not have charity in it. The model of capitalism is simply a rabid function of profit maximization on the best utilization of capital. That's what capitalism is.
But
and
you can't
what
force.
I'm saying,
yeah.
No, I'm not. You're correct. I'm not arguing with you there. You're correct, first of all. What I'm saying, however, is where I'm saying that I disagree, however, is that it is not mutually exclusive to have socialized medicine in a capitalist society. In fact, I would likely tell you that socialized medicine makes capitalism more vibrant. And let me give my theory behind that. My theory goes as follows. I have a software company, okay? When I just started the software company, the reason I could have the software company was that at the time my wife was still working at a company that offered healthcare. If she kept the health, if we had her hold the healthcare, I could afford the premiums because, well, it was subsidized healthcare from the company. And what that allowed me to do is that allowed me to innovate. That allowed me to create several products. I have over 20 different software products I have on the market. I made a ton of money doing this.
Because of capital.
Right, but here's the thing: had I not had the security of knowing that I could remain with healthcare insurance, I would have never started my computer software company. Now let's move that forward one step. There are a lot of people working for Exxon and Shell and all these guys that are very innovative people, very smart people. They want to go out there and they want to do something on their own, but there are chains on them. And what are these chains? These chains are they can't leave because they may have had a polyp 10 years ago, and an insurance company will say, okay, the only way we cover you if we exclude colon cancer. And there are things over and over again that they'll. Now, however, if we were in a socialized medicine state, and I don't like to use socialized because a lot of people, as soon as you say socialized, they go berserk. But I'm going to use it because we have to be steadfast and honest with the way we say things and not be fearful. if we had socialized medicine then, the healthcare factor of innovation, which has nothing to do with whether you're innovative or not, would not be a factor, which means anybody who thought they had an innovative idea because they know that their healthcare walked with them, that it didn't matter whether they worked for somebody or worked for themselves, their healthcare exposure, their healthcare bill exposure would be the same. That would give them the freedom to go out there and do what they want to do. And that is a very practical statement that very few people are willing to try to get into the public domain, because when once people see the evidence of that, and like I said, in when I read a lot of my own story out there, I always say, there's nothing special about my story, your story, or others. As Americans, we all have very similar stories. Some of us are innovative. Some of us want to be more innovative. Some of us would take chances. But we have to have a society that affords us the ability to do so. And my contention is that healthcare has been one of the biggest drags in our society, and it's in the numbers. And anybody doesn't want to see that or try to conflate that is inherently immoral. Continue,
hey, Alberto, can you explain to me what's the difference, in your opinion, universal health care, what's the definition of that? What's the definition of single payer, okay, as you state?
Mm-hmm.
And versus, of course, what we have or had in the past, just a free open capitalistic market, of course, whatever, we know basically what that is. But especially the other two.
Okay.
And then, of course, what we're going to have now is Obamacare, sort of.
Obamacare you're absolutely – I'm glad that you asked that. Listen, Obamacare is a compromise between what we have now and universal care. It's not single payer at all. So, I mean, he has a hybrid. And the reason I say, okay, I accept the hybrid is because America was so misinformed as far as what Obamacare should have been, what it is, and what it could have been. Now, here's the difference between universal care and what we have now. Universal care means everyone has health care in the country. In other words,
but in how in what regards?
Implementation is not universal care. Implementation is not important, meaning as long as everybody has it. In other words,
okay, but since we have a capitalist thing where these guys
if you let me finish, I'll come to that 916, and I'll come to you next. And what I mean by it doesn't matter what form is, universal care can exist in a completely private capitalistic form. And in fact, that's what Obama was attempting, universal care in a capitalist form. In other words, private health care providing and so forth. So that's exactly what he attempted. The reason it's not universal, however, it's quasi-universal. The reason Obamacare is not universal per se is that you still have that opt-in. In other words, you have to opt in. As an example, Texas did not opt into the Medicare expansion, which means there's going to be a whole lot of Americans who will continue to be treated as they did under this old system, where you get whatever health care if you're realistic, and otherwise you're just screwed.
But we have Janet Brewer, who just opted in because she realizes she's been fighting too long, and you know, even though she can't get reelected, well, unless she wants to try and overturn it, for her Republican constituents that may want to get elected in the future, or those others who want to get elected as Republicans in Arizona, they don't want to be overly self-defeated, for which your governor takes a quite different approach. He takes the approach of, I'm sticking with the party. I may be running for president again. I have to do what's good for the party. Otherwise, the Heritage Foundation and all these other people won't respect me. But
he's also playing a more dangerous game here in Texas, in that he believes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He believes that Texas is that. You know, remember earlier I told you guys that Texas has the worst voting record in the country. In other words, that's how bad we are. We don't vote. So the people that vote are right wing people in this state. And go ahead.
Let me say one thing about Texas, I think. Just to take this comparison to Arizona now, like I'm just mentioning, you know, Arizona is now, she's going to accept it. So maybe as thinking with Arizona, they know that their back is up against the wall. Okay, Arizona realizes their back is up against the wall. So Obamacare is of the land, the law of the land now. And the thing in Texas, for which over the years, because of breakdown of unions and then the job market so good, you know, federal monies into Texas, which has been fabulous over the years. You know, Texas, you know, of course, has received a lot of federal monies.
Everything you're saying is correct, sir.
Huh?
Everything you've said is correct.
Right, but here's my point. Okay, so over the years, a lot of people from like the auto industry who left Michigan and those areas and up north, Ohio and everything, because it was devastated for a while, they moved to Texas, right? No, of course,
yeah.
A lot of them are Democratic Northern voters. Now you got the Hispanics coming into the country, okay, and more and more and more, even regardless of the gerrymandering, there's going to be an erosion of Republicans. Outright winning. Is this going to go from red to purple to possibly very blue? Possibly
yes.
Very blue in Texas. And another thing for which it's going to erode, in my opinion, is, you know, even if you've got a lot of red voters right now in Texas, okay, who first of all, you know, accepted those notions over the years. Now, you basically don't accept, like, if not Obamacare, you don't accept certain other things that is of the benefit, or like for unions, okay? But besides Obamacare, healthcare, stuff of that sort, unions and that kind of thing, or valid pay. Over the years, these people who are even Republicans are going to turn, and I almost can't understand their notion of a thought, because after all the years compiling upon year after year after year, there will be people who are red voters now who will realize that this is destructive for their families. This is destructive for their economic power. This is destructive for them accepting these things, and they will realize as
you're
even
so
red
right.
voters, and therefore
you're
therefore
right.
Texas will go very, very purple.
I think it's blue. We have a thing in Texas now called Battleground Texas. And what happens now, like I told you about how bad our voting is, we are actually going around the state and we create teams in neighborhoods. And we're going precinct by precinct, ensuring that it's registered, folks are registered. It's going through the same mathematical model that the Obama campaign used. And
mm-hmm.
pretty much, when you use a mathematical model, the reality is the truth from people's hearts come out, right? Because if you're representing the masses, then the masses will reflect what's out there. And that is the biggest fear. We're getting a lot of pushback. But I tell you what, John, stay. I'm leaving your mic on, but I'm going to another call.
Well, and later, can you go back into that thing about the universal health care and all that, your
absolutely.
Real definition, your real definitions on these things?
We'll talk about that after. Let me just get this person that's been on for a while, okay? Thank you, my
yep.
friend. 916, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, this is Megan Brooks. I've never followed your show before, but this is the first time.
Well, thank you. What is your name?
Megan.
Megan, how are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, sounds like a great day so far. I actually work in nonprofit healthcare, although I'm not a provider. I work for a nonprofit medical association, and I know that this kind of thing can work, but it's difficult right now. What I work in has to do with the safety net, and it's to a large degree government funded. So it's hard to say that it's working when it runs on tax money. But also we are involved in one way or another with various nonprofit private healthcare corporations, and some of them are some of the ones that are running the hospitals that overcharge by 5 and 10 times for basic services and supplies, and I guess that's part of how they fund their work. So there's a lot of possibility with it, but I think you have to get beyond the paradigm we have that medical care is about screening and treatment, because that's where the profit is generated, and back to basic prevention and dealing with the corporate environment that encourages people to do things that are unhealthy. It's such a tangled mess. I don't know what to say.
You know, you are so right. You hit so many points there that are so important. One is we need to get away from treating to preventing, which is absolutely true. The second thing is you mentioned an interesting thing where I think if I understood you correctly, you were saying a lot of nonprofits are some of the hospitals that are actually overcharging.
Yeah, exactly.
And point proven. I mean, let me tell you something. One of the reasons I stood for single payer and complete government immersion in healthcare is for several reasons. First of all, no profit. Secondly, there are places that I want profit, right? Because there's a good reason for profits, and I think all of us know that profits create innovation. When I write a piece of software, I want to make a profit from it. When somebody creates a heart stent, they want to get a profit. I have no problem with that, but they have skin in the game. The problem I have is when hospital administrators just charge willy-nilly, not for providing innovation, but just trying to extract money. There is a difference. Likewise, when we talk about doctors, we have to look at the problem in totality. My daughter is going to medical school. It costs a fortune, okay? Aww. Now, the reality is that if we had subsidized medicine where doctors weren't necessarily having to make a lot of money to pay their bills, but make money to have a good living, we wouldn't have a problem. Because I'll tell you a story. My sister is a doctor, and she is not one of those doctors whose passion is making money. I can tell you honestly, she is in medicine because she loves it. She is a professor. She has a practice. She has all of this, and she does this out of passion of healthcare. And I know so many of her peers who are that way as well. So there are a lot of people in medicine that are in it. I go to Kelsey Siebel here. I've spoken to many of the doctors in the plan here. These guys are here for the passion of serving. They want to make good money. Everybody wants to make good money. But they also want to do a good job. And their overriding cause is not to make a whole bunch of money, but it's to make a good income while they serve the public. And I think what our system really create a whole bunch of mini capitalist doctors, which their intent is really to make money, and the customer, the patient, then simply becomes the commodity. And you say?
Let me just pick out. You said a lot. I like it. Let me pick out a couple of things. First of all, with regard to innovation, what we're finding is that the subsidized system, a lot of that, the government subsidized system, a lot of that is about preventing fraud. Unfortunately, I mean, it's just a reality. And what happens is the rules become so restrictive that it becomes very difficult sometimes to innovate. I visited a clinic not too far from here a few years ago, and they had a great community program where they were bringing people in, giving them, you know, health information and what have you, not treating them, but just educating them so they could stay well. Well, they ran out of their funding, and it's not billable under the subsidized system because it's not a treatment. So that's what happens. And this is
Can I stop you right there? I have a friend, Jonathan. Is this Jonathan? No, I don't think it was Jonathan, who brought up that issue. There's a caller to this show who one of the reasons he objected to Obamacare was exactly that he claimed that wouldn't fall under the purview. And I'm with you 100% there. I think we have to open up the paradigm. We have to open things up so that people can see that these tests. I think, however, Obamacare does have areas where they put those things to a test. In other words, if Megan, you come up and say, you know, I think that if I go ahead and teach people XYZ, things will be better. For a national system, that's not plausible because you really have to have evidence-based. I mean, if you're going to have taxpayer dollars involved, you have to have some sort of evidence base. However, grants are given for that sort of a thing, where if you want to prove that this will actually have some sort of a cost benefit to a system, you do that. Now, I think what a lot of folks like yourself within the healthcare system should be doing is vociferously fighting these things. In other words, you told me that this program has been very efficient and you can prove that it actually had made things better. Well, then who's backing you? Where's your posse?
Yeah, well, the place I work for is actually, it's a medical association, it's an advocacy group and so on. I mean, we get things through. It's a tough battle. It can be done.
Yes.
That's part of why we exist, is to do the homework that the clinics themselves might not be able to do. I did want to mention one other thing I think is very fundamental. The word prevention is used in two vastly different ways. The way it's often used in the medical industry, I'll call it, is screening for disease, so checking to see if you might have something. And this is a very profitable business because it can find things even when you aren't really sick. It can find all kinds of things. The way that I like to use prevention is in not doing what causes the disease in the first place. And there's no profit
so smart.
In that.
That is so smart.
Egberto.
Yeah, come on in, John.
Yeah, I'll give you one thing that worked in regards to Obamacare, ACA, for which they try to use a lie on him before, and not including what the some of the results are coming in regards to California and other states, okay? But remember this $700 billion savings thing that Obamacare assisted in regards to Medicare?
Yes, okay? I do.
Okay, well, basically, he had to where to make sure that the doctors fell in line and the care providers fell in line to, if they wanted to receive Medicare payments, that they had to, for their procedurals, they had to only be charging a certain amount. Now, of course, you either agree or you don't agree to then still be in the program, okay?
Right.
They still agreed to be in the program and were still able to, which there can be a danger to it, of course, is how many doctors would say, I'm done with that. I'm out quickly. And you could have a flood of doctors that say, I'm out. But he did it to where, really, there was no hurt into where tons of doctors said, I'm out of this program. And I will not take care of people who are on Medicare. So he saved $700 billion, okay? And that, in regards to ACA, has been a success for which they had decided to say, hey, look what he did. Instead, they falsely accused that he's taking from Medicare in order to pay for Obamacare. That was the most false statement you can imagine.
Well, you know, that's why we have these different shows, because we want to tell people, you know, we're not here to praise any kind of absolute policy. But one thing we believe in here is hearing the truth. And I tell you what, I love to hear all the things that Megan had to say, because, Megan, when you talk about how people look at prevention and tying into what John just said with Medicare, those are such important issues, specifically that about prevention. I don't know how many of you listen to my buddy Bill Maher, but as funny as he is, as crude as he is sometimes, that is the same thing that he's starting to come up and say, I think, put out into a lot of people's minds. Hey, guys, the food that you're eating is crap. Why don't you prevent a whole lot of stuff that you would normally get by simply having real prevention? Let me tell you. Go ahead.
And then Egberto, he says it's not socialist enough. It's too capitalist.
Well, I think
you know?
You've heard say that several times.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead, Megan.
A lot of this is not really about healthcare. It's about something else. And then healthcare is just kind of a convenient theater in which to fight the battle. But the stuff that your other caller was just describing.
Right. You notice earlier I mentioned that with the capitalist doctors that we're creating, where the consumer, meaning the patient, is nothing more than a commodity. Everything. I mean, in other words, that is. You know, once you make healthcare, once you bring healthcare into this type of private market, then and whether people want to accept it or not, the patient is nothing more than raw material. And, you know, raw material to derive income. And you know, and it, anybody who has entered the system, I don't care, well, except if you're ultra wealthy. That's what you are. Because if you have insurance paying for your health care, then you know the insurance is trying to minimize whatever is done to you. If you have a health insurance paying for your bill, you know the hospital is trying to maximize what it's going to get out of you. So there you are, that one person with businesses on all sides of the debate, if you will, maximizing on you. Folks, today we're going to also talk about the Syria and what I called my Obama actually succumbing to the pressure to actually get us into yet another war. Succumbing to the pressure to get us into another war. Did he have to do that? Hell no. But before I go into that subject, anybody wants to say anything else about healthcare?
Well, Egberto.
Yes, sir.
Egberto, you really haven't explained the thing more, and if you can.
Yes, I
about
forgot.
Your real,
you wanted, universal care. Yes.
Universal healthcare and all that.
My fault. Okay, let's go there. Here it is. Universal healthcare, the word says it all. Universal healthcare means you have a healthcare system where every single person, every single human being, and 518, I see your hands up, I'll come to you next. Every single human being has health care, okay?
Okay, but I don't understand that in regards to in the capitalist system that we have now.
I understand.
You know, people say that's beautiful. People say that's beautiful,
yeah,
but
finish.
How does it relate?
Finish. You want me to tell you? Let me get through. Okay. That universal system means that everybody has health care. Remember earlier when I tried to explain that, I said the mechanism, however, how it is administered isn't defined. So you can have socialized medicine where it's universal health care. You can have socialized medicine by definition is always universal health care. You can have universal health care that is socialized medicine. You can have universal healthcare that is capitalist-based. You can have universal healthcare that's a hybrid. Let's go with the
but
first
But don't you
one.
Think Obama, Obamacare, ACA is exactly universal healthcare, but like
it's
this hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
It is a hybrid, but it is universal healthcare regardless.
Not completely.
In the capitalist system.
No, there's still, and he will tell you as well. I think that the estimate is something on the order of 95 or 97% coverage is what we would get with Obamacare. Okay.
Well,
so
because there will be people who will fight it. That's the reason.
Exactly. However,
but that's their own fault. That's their own fault, Egberto.
John, but here's the deal. We're not talking about fault or who's to be blamed or anything here. You asked me for a definition, and the definition is that if universal healthcare means by definition all have codified coverage. Codified coverage in a universal system would say that everybody has to buy health insurance, and if you don't buy health insurance, we will demand that you buy health insurance. That can be a universal healthcare. However, our system doesn't reach that far because it couldn't pass political muster.
What is single payer?
Now, single payer says the following, and by the way, single payer as well does not have to be universal, though it should be universal. Single payer says this: all medical bills are paid by one entity. Remember, all insurance companies do is pay a bill, and by having many insurance companies, what they try to do is what they call risk manipulation or risk avoidance or risk. There's another term that they use I can't recall right now.
So do you mean by one capitalistic insurance company?
You could actually put it this way. Theoretically speaking, you could have a single-payer system that falls into the capitalist realm with very good regulations. In other words, we could do this. Obamacare could have said, we are
going
to
ask... But you're going against, Obamacare, therefore.
You're going totally
against Obamacare. This is what Obamacare is actually trying to do. There's insurance companies in other states that are not able to get into other states because of what most people call payola. Okay, just like with the cable companies, okay? So we don't have enough competition. And this is what Bill Maher is saying. We don't have enough competition. What you're prescribing is like an insurance or a government thing for which most people, and even the Republicans
you have to let me explain it, because you completely misunderstood. Here, and this is extraordinarily important here, okay? I am saying you can actually have a single payer in a capitalist model. How do you do that? You could say the following. You could say every 5 years, America puts a bid out for the insurance company that would be the single payer insurance company that handles all bill paying.
We don't want monopolies. Why do you want that? That's the thing. That's where abuse could come into play.
And here is where you're wrong. And this is why this is what I try to explain to people. And I even had this in my book. When you have the idea, the mathematical idea that competition among insurance companies who are really bastardizing a risk pool to maximize their profits can somehow be profitable. I mean, can somehow be less or more efficient than a single payer system monopoly is an oxymoron. Let me explain why. When you have multiple insurance companies bidding for people, you cannot. Each insurance company has a complete staff, a complete ad budget, a CEO that must be paid. They all have duplicitous infrastructure all the way through. That's an absolute statement there. And in having that, those costs are the only way those costs can be mitigated is for the policies in general to be of higher cost. There's a book that was written about that on a blog. I don't have it on my blog right now. But that was written about why it is impossible for there to be efficiencies within multiple insurance companies. You know what? The line is filling up.
But you're asking for one quick thing. You're asking for too big to fail. I mean, basically, you're like the banks. We told them
no. Absolutely not. And this is the mistake that people make. There is no failure in paying a bill. Here's a very most – remember – multiple insurance companies are the reason for their existence is to mitigate risk. When the risk pool is one, when there's no bastardized risk pool, the problem, there's then no problem. And that is something that people have to get in their head.
Is this the government doing it, or is this a company doing this whole universal insurance?
I would prefer the government to do it, but there's a lot of pushback
in
America.
That's socialism. That's communism.
It's not communism. Please get the
truth. Sure it is.
No, it's not communism. It's socialism, okay? It is socialized medicine. But I tell you what, we'll continue this a little further because the lines are lighting up, and I want to get more people into the discussion, and I won't forget about what we're talking about. We'll continue this. I'm coming to 518. You've been holding longest. Who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Egberto, Joe Pomponio, Albany, New York. How you been?
Senor Pomponio, add to the case.
Okay, real quick, this medical thing I went through, I watched. It's a mess because individuals were given a chance to amend the bill. That's why you're having all these problems. They're just shy of poison pills to confuse things. You want me to give you an answer? If I were doing it, take the money that people are paying into the Obamacare, make it like a military, and I don't mean military with guns. We have the U.S. Army, the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, okay? How about a U.S. Medical Force? Take the money, put it in there, open centers, in competition. We're not going to put anybody out of business. But if you don't have the means or you don't make enough to afford medical care, you report to one of these. The government could then sponsor medical programs to students wishing to get into this the same way they do with the military. And then, you know, defense of the country is required. I seem to feel myself that medical care for its citizens is just as important. And you could do this more easily with a single payer plan where everybody pays into it. But if not, it's very complicated. Megan Brooks brought up some good points. And, you know, these things are just, you know, out there. Now, with regard to doctors, I get Doctors for America on my Facebook page.
Very good.
They're more than happy to go along with Obamacare. Can it be improved? Obama himself said, I watched how this law got made, and I couldn't. It basically is a Republican bill, if you want to put a label on it. And I think as I watch it structured, I sort of poison there. And I think the idea is set it up so someday it'll fail.
Actually, you know, you're absolutely right. Now, doctor, I met a doctor, her name is Mona Mangat, who works with, I think, the group that you're talking about. They were going around the country, in fact, talking about what's going to change, what's good in the policy, and what could possibly have been better. So, I mean, you're absolutely right about what you're saying, Joe. You have anything else to add, sir?
Just want to touch on something lightly. You're in Texas. I understand this morning I saw a piece that Texas truants, all right, that are out of school for more than 15 days are going to be arrested and incarcerated. Supreme Court just passed something regarding taking DNA from people arrested. Are they harvesting DNA down there?
Let me tell you, it wouldn't surprise me a bit. You know, we have a state where when you commit a felony or supposed felony, you can't vote. These are there are a lot of things that are going to be done in Texas because Texas, like I said, is really a blue state in the making. And a lot of people, I see your hands back up, John, but I have to go through the list and then I'll come back to you, my friend. And Megan, anytime you want to talk again, you just have to hit one twice to recycle yourself. But the lines are lining up, Joe, so I got to I'll put you back.
Go right ahead.
And go to the 541. Who do I have the honor of speaking with?
It's Janine.
Who's this?
It's Janine.
Janine. Folks, yeah. Janine is one of our board of directors, and she is the director of Coffee Party. She makes sure things keep flying around here. Talk to me, Janine.
Well, you know, I wouldn't hone in on your show unless I had something to say. And I this is just so timely because I spent yesterday in a seminar put on by the insurance company that provides health insurance to a different nonprofit on which I'm on the board. And so we had a several-hour explanation of how the next phase of what you like to call Obamacare, which I've always called the Affordable Care Act, is going to work. And there are I think it's by design that there's so much mischief and misunderstanding about what's going on here or even what the motivation is. And I'm on my cell phone, I'm on the road, so I can't stay with you too long, but I had to take an extra minute and sort of share what I learned in this class. And for sure, one of them is anyone who thinks that this is universal health care is kidding themselves. Because while you might be able to go to the Urban Dictionary or, you know, Wicca, whatever, and get a definition of universal health care, it isn't so when it's cheaper for many employers to opt out than it is to comply. So we're still going to have a huge number. And we got instructions. How do you opt out? Under what conditions would you opt out? And even let you know, this is only true until the penalties increase. But right now, you know, it might be cheaper for you to not have health insurance, but rather pay the penalty. The other thing is that another rabbit trail people like to go down is that this is somehow anti-capitalistic or whatever. When I first went to college, I was in the health field, right? I was on a public health degree route. And I have to tell you that back then, you know, we were talking about Medicare for all, universal health care, whatever. So the insurance industry had, but the insurance industry has had like 40 years to prove that it didn't need to be socialized, as people like to call it. They've made themselves too big to fail. They've made themselves hugely profitable. They've divvied us up into the have and the have-nots. It's way worse now. than it was 40 years ago when we were discussing this in my classwork, right? And so what they've done is just made themselves too powerful to fail. And so they have this dodgy system with huge profit margins. People die of neglect. And we're talking about whether there's a potential abuse by some chiropractor in Beaverton, Oregon, who might charge double. Or we're calling it a monopoly when I would call it a damn rescue. Because this is criminal. It's just criminal. Now, come up with a better idea. The reason that if you don't like this, come up with a better idea. All the other ideas are very theoretical. They don't, but I want to stick to this. I'm sorry, no rabbit trails. The Congress did nothing but make this worse. You know, they phased out the implementation. The paperwork requirements are huge. I just wanted to stand up in this room yesterday and say, if you're offended by all this paperwork you have to do, go for Medicare for All. You won't have to do it.
Thank you.
Okay, end of rant.
Oh, no. When I said thank you, I meant thank you in agreement. Please rant.
Oh, right. Well, but see, the thing is, this is not a time to be theoretical. Is this socialism? Is this communism? What do you call a failed system? That's not capitalism. That's stupidity. You know?
It's evil.
I'm watching my mother. What?
It is evil. What we're doing right now, Janine, is actually evil. And those people that are allowing many of those that are constantly on the right putting this misinformation out, they are condoning evil. And at some point, when those guys turn and realize that they've been snowed, God help those who were opposed.
Well, and just let me, you know, outside the emotion, let me just give you some facts. Okay, let's say in Oregon you have a minimum wage employee that you've kept at 29 hours to keep them out of the insurance pool, right? Lots of people do this. Little employers, it's sometimes a very real distinction. For a big employer, it's just a strategy, right? Well, today, if you took that 29-hour person, minimum wage person, and you put them into the pool, at today's rates, they would get a 100% raise because the cost of their health insurance would exceed their monthly wage. But you tell me that is not a system failed. This is a system that's been on notice for 40 years. It needed to clean up its act. It didn't do it. Now, there's only two motivations there. Either they can't or they won't. If they can't, then they should be talking to us about what to fix. The fix so far has been to cast employees into the public safety net and then turn around and say, but I'm not going to pay taxes because I'm a job creator. And I'll tell you what, those kind of job creators are tax liability creators for you and me because they throw people into emergency rooms, they throw people into welfare, they throw people into food stamps.
That is absolutely true. Okay, Janine, stick with me, Janine, as long as you can. Let me bring 210 in. 210,
okay.
You're hot. Stay with me, Janine. 210, you're hot. What's your name?
Yes, John from San Antonio. Spoke to
hey,
you
Hey, John,
a couple
how
times.
You doing? Great to hear you again.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I really completely agree with what you're saying, Egberto, about single payer, and I'm glad that you're framing it as a moral issue. And I also want to you know, address John from Jersey. You know, you really need to look at what's going on, the history of what's going on in Europe, when they adapted you know, either hybrids, which continue to this day in most of the countries, or just total single payer, which is happening in England and France and Canada, Australia. And so, I mean, you look at Japan, you look at New Zealand, these are all the most advanced countries in the world. And they look at America and they say, it's unbelievable that the most prosperous nation in the world does not have this idea that you have to have money. You have to have money to pay for insurance, to get health coverage, to continue to live in many cases. And it really is a moral issue. And as far as the idea that this is somehow, you know, communism is just, it just reeks of something from the 30s. I mean, this is, it's really unbelievable. If you look at Canada, if you look at all the European countries, all the most advanced countries have had this for years. You look at Medicare, I mean, which is, you know, essentially a single-payer system. I mean, there are variations of it. I mean, there's the Medicare Advantage is different. It's a HMO wrapped into, you know, a single-payer system. But, I mean, there's all kinds of complexity in the Netherlands.
John, I want to stop you for one reason. Because you brought up Medicare Advantage, interesting enough, that the Medicare Advantage portion of Medicare is sort of the private portion of Medicare. We must ask ourselves, why does it have a 20% premium on it, cost to taxpayer? That alone in itself is an acknowledgement that private payment of a bill costs more, because inherently, there's more profit. There's more to pay for advertising and all these guys for yet another plan. Anyway, continue. I just wanted to bring that in.
No, I agree. The only thing I will say about Medicare Advantage, though, that it is a cheaper plan than if you're you know, ready to stick within the framework of the HMO. And you're going to limit your, you know, the doctors that you can see. It is cheaper than Medicare. I mean, Medicare is great. I mean, Medicare has been a proven success. I'm not knocking it in any way, you know. But, you know, for certain people who are really poor, it does, you know, it does help them. And so, I understand what you're saying.
No,
I
just want to make one correction. The correction is that you're correct that it's cheaper for the patient. I'm saying that the taxpayer, however, pays a 20% or used to pay a 20% premium for the Advantage program.
Yeah, actually, that's part of the $700 billion that Obama cut over 10 years.
Right.
I mean, a lot of that were reductions in Medicare Advantage.
Right.
But, you know, I think that framing this, like, you know, here in Texas, what Terry is doing and all these other southern states, what they're doing is so incredibly immoral to the
right.
poor people who really need this the most.
They don't give a shit.
Well, you know, unfortunately, a lot of that's true. They don't. But I hope this is going to get people to come out and be active. I mean, they're going to realize, you know, some of them that live on border states, if you live on the New Mexico border, you can, you know, actually, you know, drive 50 miles away or whatever it is, and
right.
your whole situation will change. And there's a lot of talk about people, you know, who are actually going to flee the South from this, because they're going to look at other states and they're going to see reports about people who actually, you know, are going to live their lives. You know, this is a life and death situation for people.
Right.
And so, you know, when people start reading about, you know, people are actually dying, you know, who should have been in this Medicaid, who aren't eligible, and they have no money to pay, you know, for these exchanges. I mean,
right.
they're still, the subsidy is great. Don't get me wrong. I think it's, you know, it's great. I mean, like I'd say, I'd like to see single payer, but I mean, it's good that this is a first step. You know, I think that it will be successful, though. I think there are things that have to be corrected. But if you look at the history of the adaptation of single payer and of, I mean, you can call it socialized medicine. I have no problem with that at all, because that's what it is. And there's,
right.
there's nothing wrong with that. And if you look at the history of the adaptation of these the programs all across the world. They are extremely successful, and people love these programs. They cannot even ponder a world where a country like the United States doesn't have this.
You know, John, I don't know if you heard the entrance that the piece that I read on Obamacare, where I in fact just said that specifically. But there are a lot of calls, so let me get to another one. Hang with me, I'll come back to you. Okay.
Nah.
404. Who do I have the honor of talking to?
Good afternoon, Bobby Rodrigo, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody today?
Roberto Rodrigo, talk to me. Add your 2 cents.
The Affordable Care Act. What a wonderful subject.
We were supposed to be talking Syria, but hey, I told you guys run my show.
It's funny that not funny, but it's interesting that Janine was giving an example of a presentation that was made to her. I actually had two of those conversations, not presentations, but conversations recently. One with my cousin, who's extremely conservative, and another with an insurance agent that I do business with here in Georgia. And both of them took me down a path of destruction of what was going to happen with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And I thought it was quite interesting what I was listening to. So when we got to the end of the conversation, being like I am, I mean, you know me well enough to know how I am, I said, okay, can you show me the proof of what you just said? And both of them said, and I've talked about this before on the various shows, that both of them said, this is a prediction. And, of course, I threw my hands up, and I said, great. I said, now, meanwhile, I didn't tell them that I've actually read the law. I guess I'm probably, if I should be in Congress, nobody else did. So the interesting thing to me about all of this is if you look to, again, speaking of Oregon, there's a community in Oregon, the state of California, the state of Connecticut, and two of the largest insurance companies in the country have already taken steps to implement what is supposed to be starting next year. Now, all of us could go right now to the state of California website and punch in our dynamic of what our family size is and what our income is, and we can figure out in 5 seconds how much we'll pay if we live in California for the Affordable Health Care Act. And it drives me insane when I hear all these models that are being put out there saying this is what's going to happen when you have successful implementation of the act already done. I don't even talk about Rick Perry in a serious conversation, and everybody's mentioning things that he's done today recently, for example, and I'll just throw in there that he signed an act today or yesterday ensuring that Christmas remains a holiday. These things are important. I mean, and I'm not making this stuff up. You can't make Rick Perry up. There's no way you can make up Rick Perry.
I hear these
partisan comments. And partisan direction, and yes, it is definitely the medicine is definitely a moral issue without question. Life and death is moral. Period. And any other view of it, in my view, is just somebody wanting to make money or greed or being told to formulate their argument another way by our wonderful media. You have the single payer system, of course, should be done, and of course, it's not communism. What amazes me too about that argument. Has anybody actually read the definition of what communism is, or does anybody remember what the actual USSR, the United Socialist, whatever the next letter was, USSR actually was? The way they kept their foot on the neck of the entire Eastern Bloc of Europe and what they did, and what it took for a country like Poland to get out from underneath them? That there's no way by having a single payer system that it changes our society to communist or even socialist.
Bobby,
I would argue it's absurd.
Bobby, what happened?
It is totally absurd. And for intelligent people, in my view, to take that stance, they're not doing enough research. I'm not going to insult anybody, but to me, they're not doing the research necessary. And
Bobby,
as a final point on this, because it seems like every time I call you lately, I'm in front of Costco getting to walk in. So I have to go, but on a fine, and notice I didn't say Sam's Club, I said Costco. We go with the Costco guys.
He pays very well.
Yes, on a final point about this, it's really to me, it is another subject again, in our society, that it would be fixed, no matter what the final result was, if you remove money from our election process, and you remove corporate personhood, and you remove money from the lobbying system. Because then you can have a true argument, a true debate for the constituents of this country. Because until you do those things, which we're all working on to do, all of these arguments, no matter what side, I don't care if it's the military, and now we're going to Syria, oh boy, and we've got the Affordable Health Care Act and the NSA, all this stuff, it always rolls over into money telling our elected officials what to do.
The good thing about this show is that everybody gets a chance. You know, there are between 3,000 to 5,000 people that are going to ultimately hear this piece. So you have just educated or started the education process with many. Joe and all you guys, Joe, John from Jersey, Roberto, all of you have been educating folks around. So let's keep doing this. Hey, Bobby, I got to keep on. The phones are heating up, so I got to
have a good afternoon.
Take care, buddy. Thank you for calling in, Bobby. 620, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Okay, this is Jack Golden.
Hey, my regular, Jack Golden, talk to me.
Yeah, talking about Obamacare, which is not my favorite expression. He likes it, but I don't particularly care about it, about that expression. But anyway, is there an echo here?
You're getting an echo. I think you have your speakers on. Or maybe going through some. Let me turn a few mics off and see if we can help you out there. And then, Megan, I'll be coming back to you and then John. Let's see. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay.
Let's see, Jack.
All right. I think we could
you want me to come back to you?
The solution is, I think, okay. Single payer.
Yes, sir.
Would do so much to halt this all this stuff about socialism and this. Because I don't believe I'm for no labels.
I hear you.
And single payer would do go far to, and also like the Veterans Administration is doing, I think, if the buy drugs from Canada, Britain, France, or whatever, at a much cheaper rate than it is, I do not understand why they can't do it.
I hear you. We can do it. We can do it. There's no reason why we
can't.
Under
Medicare.
Correct. Yeah, go ahead.
But the Veterans Administration is doing it. And also, we should be paying more attention to our veterans.
Absolutely.
I am a veteran, among other things.
Well, Jack, and we appreciate that you served the country. I imagine you were in, did you go to Vietnam?
No, I went to Korea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I forgot you once told me your age, so that would have been the war for you. Well, look, thank you for serving the country. And you know that I've always spoken about that I think we don't do right by our veterans. Our veterans are some of our most precious resources, or one of our most precious resources.
Our priorities are all screwed up on account of mainly the Republicans and a few Democrats.
Absolutely. I got a whole lot of calls I got to run through, Jack, so I'm going to come back to you in closing, but keep calling, and thank you for your thoughts, buddy, and also thank you for serving.
Yeah.
Okay, 832, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Yeah, hi, Egberto.
Hey, Pink Edge.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you one more thing. I'm not sure if you talk about like this propaganda against Obamacare. I'm not sure. I've even seen commercials about it, like and it talked about the truth about Obamacare, and they even got a book out. I don't know if this is like some kind of a right-wing conspiracy.
I actually know the guy who wrote the book against Obamacare. I actually spoke to him at a coffee party rally in Washington, D.C. a couple years ago. And mm-hmm. he's simply a sort of a nutcase. But, hey, the book was really almost unreadable. But go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, what's interesting, if you go to Amazon.com, it seems to have almost a 4.5 stars based on the people who have read it and have given it ratings. And it just basically says about how it's a disaster in many ways, you know.
Listen, Pinkett, yeah. Let me tell you something about the Amazon rating system. And mm-hmm. this is not something I'm just pulling out of my rear end. What has happened is there is a group of people that whenever a book comes out, if it's a book that's
yeah.
slanted left, they have mm-hmm. a fund. And, you know, we have videos on YouTube. I should really find it where the instructions of how to do it. These
yeah.
guys have a network and funding to go ahead and buy up all the right-wing books and network to constantly give it positive affirmation, meaning positive stars. And then for
yeah.
the left side, they go ahead and they do the opposite. Unfortunately, the left is some of the lousiest in doing these types of things. The left,
yeah.
I am a lefty, but I do my complaining. I do perform. I do have a radio show. I do form a part of the body politic. We, those that are engaged here, because I is a very bad thing. We here, we're engaging to move things in a positive direction. Unfortunately, a lot of people on the left do a hell of a lot of complaining, but they don't
right.
enter the body politic to actually effect solutions. If one thing you can say about folks on the right is that
right.
in as misinformed as they are proud mm-hmm. of being misinformed, and they're proud to go out there and push a false ideology. That's
yeah.
one thing that's guaranteed. We need how to learn to go push a true ideology, to know how to go
right.
out there and push the absolute truth. Continue before I get
back.
What
do you think? What do you think about Jan Brewer? You know, speaking, pretty interesting. She signed into
yeah.
law, I think, the Formal Care Act.
Don't give her too many kudos. The reality is great that she held out to get the plan. But you have to realize that even here in Texas, all those people that would normally be business-like or whatever actually see that
yeah.
Obamacare is really a windfall for a lot of companies. In other words,
mm-hmm.
when we speak about wanting it to be really single-payer, we wanted to avoid what's really occurring even under Obamacare. And that is a windfall
yeah.
for certain insurance companies, a windfall for certain medical companies, because what it
mm-hmm.
does is it guarantees 30 million more people in the system paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And with
mm-hmm.
this great thing that we call preventative care, remember what I don't remember,
right.
I think Megan was talking about before, where she said,
mm-hmm.
oh, there are two definitions of preventative care. Well, it so happened that a part of Obamacare does use the bad definition of preventative care, which is doing a whole lot of tests
yeah.
you know, colonoscopies and all of that, as opposed to saying needing more fiber. You know, things like
mm-hmm.
that. I'm not trying to put a negative on it. I'm just trying to put a reality on it. But Pinkett, let me get to
yeah.
a few other people. Stick with me. Megan, you're
sure.
back on. I see that you are in the top of the list.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't ask this time.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
I thought that you did. Did you have something to say? Let me go to John.
Not prepared. Okay,
go ahead. Okay, got you. John, you're next.
Hey, Egberto again. I guess I got a lot of flack, and I guess from which people are more into socialist.
Let me talk
from you and everybody.
No,
you know,
flack.
But,
not flack.
Okay.
Again, I don't
okay.
think anybody gave flack. What folks said is, let's get definitions of phraseology here. In other words, I understand whenever you use the word communism, I know specifically that you are not using communism in the form that we're talking about the Soviet Union. You're using communism in a lot of ways that a lot of people here in the United States like to promote it.
Yeah, the way that Americans use it, but the way that Karl Marx described it, not the way because really the Soviet Union really was a dictatorship that had, you know, a screwed up government. Let's put it that way,
yeah.
okay? But
but there is a true communism. I mean, what's his name? Roberto said that there is no such thing. There is such a thing.
No,
I mean,
Roberto.
Karl Marx. Karl Marx wrote about it.
Hold on. John. Hold on. Let me qualify something here, okay? For there to be, for you to call a state a communist state, all the resources. When we say that we want to socialize medicine, it is not fair for you to say it's communism in the form that communism is actually defined, because the sources of production, meaning the coal companies, the oil companies, all these other companies, there's nothing that affects them. They remain capitalist companies. They remain free market companies. So for you to have said communism, what would have had to be implied there, if it were true communism, is that all these resources would have fallen under the purview of we the people, the government, to form a real communist state. That is not
okay,
what we're
saying. Okay, but Egberto, you know that I have to define it in that way, just like anybody else, even like Rush Limbaugh would have to define it. And you know, first of all, I am a liberal. But
I know
when
that.
It comes to an issue like this, there is no other way to define it.
I need to make a pact with you, because, first of all, you're proud to say you're a liberal. I'm proud to say I'm a liberal. There's a long time that many liberals would not come on shows and say I'm a liberal. They'll always want to qualify it or something like that. The liberals are the people who've made this country what it is. We've moved the country forward. That's a fact. Now, that said, let me finish, John. I would like for you, however, I would appreciate rather if you not fall into these what other people call communism, because you're a liberal and you know the truth. Okay?
Well, I'm not Joe McCarthy. You know that.
I know that. And that's what I'm saying. So in other words, you don't have to fall into the purview of these other guys, because we know we are here on a fact-based show. So we don't have to, you know, we're on a fact-based show that are trying to get that try to get the folks who are going to listen to the podcast later on to say, damn, those guys can talk differently, they think differently, but they can come to, you know, you and I don't agree on everything, but my God, we agree on most things. And And not only do we agree on most things, where we disagree, we can do it in a form that says, I see what you're saying, but I don't agree with you, my brother.
But,
Egberto,
let me go again, because I've always said this, okay? And everybody can argue against me, but let's just take it in context of discussion, okay? There is no pure communism, in essence.
Right.
What we know Karl Marx wrote about it. And there is no pure capitalism that works, okay? Pure communism or pure capitalism does not work. Now, it's the pendulum swing, which works best, and works best for certain programs. But in regards to what we define as corporations, and we have individuals who can form corporations, okay, either S companies, this and that, and then stockholders, all that other stuff, okay, we have people who form these corporations. They're not – people and corporations are not the same, but they do form them, okay? But the thing is, as I discussed, like the $700 billion thing, okay? Now, there was a danger to that, but I guess accordingly Obama and others who calculated it out, figured it out pretty well to where the system still – to where it work, and the doctors would just not take off. You guys who talking about in these crazy idealistic, almost, yes, communistic approaches of or socialistic communistic approaches, considering we are a capitalist system with doctors, the way that you discuss it, okay, is that these doctors will say the hell with doing what I'm doing, okay? They will fight the system. They will back out of it. There is a red line in regards to medical and how much
you alter
the system.
No, let me tell
there
you something.
There is a red line.
Okay? No, let me tell you something, talking from the brother of a sister who's a doctor, all right? And many and who live among several doctors. Here are some interesting things. I remember when, and I have to go off subject a bit. I remember when we were talking about the bailout, something that I supported for specific reasons. Certain types of bailouts I supported for specific reasons, but others did not. I always said one thing, and that is, remember after these guys gave themselves healthy profits and the Obama administration pretty much allowed them to keep the profits even though we bailed these guys out? There was no mechanism to really take that back. I would have said, and one of the excuses that they constantly gave was like, well, you know, if these guys didn't get their profits, they would go to more profitable domains. My question would, my thing would be, well, please let them go to more profitable domains because, first of all, which profitable domains is there to receive them? And secondly, how good did they do after all, or how well did they do after all? They've almost brought the economy down. I'm going to say the same thing for doctors as well.
Okay, Ricardo, can I ask you one quick thing?
Let me finish. Nope. Let me finish. Now, the next thing with when it comes to doctors, however, I'll say the same thing. Most doctors, that's their field. Okay, you want to go somewhere else and do something else. If you think that you can make or command that kind of money because of a bit more regulations or a bit less money or whatever, you think there's somewhere else that's going to give you the command of the income that you have? When you have 100,000 doctors trying to get on the market into some new field, there's no field to get into. There's market momentum that would prevent it, that would prevent such eventuality. And that's the reason why it isn't that Obama and them caved that, or I mean, carved out so perfectly that loss in income in Medicare. It is that they had nowhere else to go.
Roberto?
Go ahead.
You talked about like basically one president or one czar for the head, and then less additional down the line czars of a company, okay, or single payer insurance thing, a government or capitalists doing the single payer thing, okay? So you said, okay, well, regards to healthcare, that would be good because we have less of vice presidents, presidents, CEOs, all that stuff, okay? Now,
right.
So what about cars? What about why don't we have the same thing for cars, Alberto? Why don't we have the same things where we have one auto company in America or one auto company in the world? Why?
Now you're talking communism. Now you're
right.
Talking.
No. So you.
No.
No. So you. You're talking about communism you're talking about communism for healthcare.
No, John. Here's the deal. Remember, that's why I read the blog in the beginning, with the expectation that you would see the difference. In fact,
I don't see the difference.
Because
Obamacare ACA is basically asking for more competition, just like with more auto companies competition.
Stop. Listen to this. I just pulled my blog again and read. I'm going to read you two paragraphs, and it should be explicit here. And the blog says as follows. When one takes a car in to change the oil, the technician is trained to encourage you to change the filter and other incidentals. When the carpet man comes to clean your rug for $99, you know the upsell could double the price. You, however, have the option to say no with no serious worry of fatal consequences. You do not expect this from a healthcare system, as the patient generally cannot or will not say no. After all, this is their bodies, and it could be a life or death situation in their minds. It is for this reason, it is for reasons like this and many others that healthcare cannot be considered a market like one would consider in the buying and selling of other products and services.
But Alberto, look what happened in the IRS.
John, hear me out here, please. One of the things that we have in Coffee Party and otherwise that we have to try to do, and I learned this at Move to Amend when we all come with a particular thought, we have to open ourselves up for really listening to the core of an argument or the core of a discussion. What I'm trying to tell you is when you brought the discussion about if I think X, Y about the healthcare system, about many CEOs and many otherwise, why don't I think that way about the car industry? That is exactly why I don't think that way about the car industry. There are certain we have to realize that capitalism is a tool and not a way of life. In other words, I know that within auto industry, capitalism works perfectly. A Dodge, a Plymouth, and all these other things, by having all these different innovators all over the place, it makes sense. However, when it comes to healthcare is not a market that is based on losers and winners.
Egberto, let me give one quick example. Let me give the one quick example. Look what happened with the IRS, and then it being such a conglomerate thing, they decided to spend lots of money, okay, on stupid things like lose weight kind of stuff or this kind of stuff that they did. You know what occurred recently. They decided to spend government money for some stupid employee garbage, okay? That is the issues.
It's not. That's a tangent, and let me tell you why that is a tangent. That is a tangent because the same consulting group that had those people in the government doing those exercises, and this is what drives me about how the media put things out. The media is corrupt in this fashion. The same organizations that the IRS paid for those symposiums, meaning building networks, building cohesion among employees, is the same. I work both for NASA and other private companies, and the other private companies have those same types of exercises that. So if you're looking at the TV, it looks stupid. But they have these what they call building exercises or I don't remember exactly what they call them, but these are building exercises that they perform. And if you're going to criticize it for the government, it should be, I mean, private industry does it all the time. That is what they do.
But our big thing right now is really it's the tax structure. It's the tax code. That is the reason why we have problems with CEOs making too much money. I think you're trying to redesign for healthcare instead of, hey, we need, and it's come up now, we need to fix the tax codes. There are too much whatever for these CEOs.
I know, John,
CEOs.
I honestly think that's a different subject, but I need to bring John back in because he just cycled. I mean, the other John. Okay, John, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to reply to some of what John said. And I've listened to John before, you know, on your shows, and I agree with a lot of what he says. But, you know, if he's going to make the argument of that any, you know, that basically when you move away from a pure capitalism, you know, form, which it isn't that way, I'm wondering what he thinks of Medicare because you know, Medicare is extremely successful, and, I mean, extremely popular. And, I mean, the way he talks, it almost seems like he doesn't approve of Medicare. And that's, of course, what Reagan called it, socialism. And I think when he uses the word communism, that is such a loaded word. You know, now when he talks about socialism, I mean, all you're talking about is a mixed economy. I mean, if you look at, you know, the history of European economics in the 20th and the 21st century, you will see that what's happened is basically they've become much more mixed between the government has had more control, and that's been great for people living longer lives through expanded health care. As far as the word socialism, I know a lot of people don't want to hear that word. I mean, but it's really helped Europe. I mean, I'll admit it. I am a socialist. I think Bernie Sanders is the greatest senator, without a doubt, with Elizabeth Warren very close behind. I root for Hollande to win in France, and I follow socialist parties. And as far as the hybrid model, let's take Italy for example. Basically, there's a universal system, but for the very affluent, and you could make an argument this shouldn't be this way, they can buy into a separate system to where they get they think they're getting better coverage, and you know they actually have to pay more money and, you know, pay money for insurance just like you do here. And most people don't buy into it. You know, they're totally happy with the system that they have. But another argument I'd like to make, if you're going to say that, you know, what Obamacare is communism, you could make the same argument about actually public schools in Denmark or Sweden or Norway, where they have, there's practically no private schools at all. Everything is paid by the taxpayer, and they do pay a lot more taxes. And, you know, I think it's a great system. And the fact is, you know, that you don't have a choice. In America, if you have the money, you can go to a private school. They really don't. I mean, there are very, very few. I mean, less than 1% actually go to private schools. And
John, I just want to bring up something about Europe, because right now a lot of people took a whole lot of pains with the downturn that we had here. And one of the things that held up the Scandinavian countries, and I wrote about that, Denmark and Norway and Sweden, is that they had such a strong social safety net that when people got out of work, money circulation continued because of the influx. They had a built-in stimulus that kept the lows from being too low and the highs from being too high. Secondly, as well, these guys actually, their education system, just like you said, because it's public, everybody gets a chance and equal access to success, which is something that is fast fading here in America. We are no longer as upwardly mobile as we once used to be. We know that we've been seeing stagnant wages for the last 30 years. You can't keep seeing yourself degrade and try to stand up for a system that continues to degrade people. And that's what I just cannot understand, that some people stand for it. Now, I want to say something in regards to John from Jersey, my buddy, because remember, John from Jersey actually supports Obamacare fully. So, I mean, it's not that he thinks he's not a right-wing guy at all. He really does that. It's just that I think he supports a little bit private more so than a lot of us do. But, John, I have a new call on 303. Can I get back to you? Keep you hot, but I'll get back to you, okay?
Sure thing.
303, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Good morning, Egberto. This is Nico in Colorado,
Nico,
in Denver.
How are you doing? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I've been listening in, but I don't always have to call. But this has just been going too far where – we're arguing, you know, free market versus capitalism, you know, and people are dying and they're, you know, going bankrupt, and it is a failed system, period. And
right.
So, you know, I would like to just stay a more moderate view in that often we isolate these things, and for whatever reason, Congress does too, where they don't really connect the dots in terms of, you know, maybe we're paying more on medical, not just because of the bureaucracy and the inefficiencies and the lawsuits and everything else. You know what? Maybe we're actually in poorer health. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe the children are not being fed well, a quarter of them. Maybe we're creating a culture where we're not taking care of each other physically. Maybe we're not going to the doctor soon enough, you know, and so forth. So I see a real nexus between our personal lifestyles and our culture and so forth, health, energy, you know, and the environment. When you bring those three, like three Venn diagrams, you know, and where do they overlap? That's where the attention needs to be. And we're doing that here in Colorado, whether we're liberal or libertarian or progressive or communist or socialist or militarist or survivalist. You know what we're doing? We're creating walkable districts in our neighborhoods. We're trying to bring in urban gardens. We're giving people destinations to walk to that's not just shopping and doesn't involve the car. So, you know, we've got it. Sidewalks and bike paths might be more cost effective than all this bickering.
Look, I agree with you, and I think Megan actually earlier on agrees with you because she will, I don't know if you heard her talk about the two definitions of preventative, and she did a very good job of that. But I tell you what, I'm doing. We're closing down now, so I'm going to get closing statements. And since Jersey keeps cycling, I am going to go to John from Jersey, my buddy. Give me your closing statement. You got about 30 seconds, brother.
Hi. Real quickly, though, I'm going to give you a great example. Paris was formulated with the city itself being formulated, right? So now the subway had to go about formulated as the way the city runs and, of course, what major attractions through the city. Now, America, in New York City, let's give an example, basically the subway was created first, and then most of the buildings as such followed the subway, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are asking, you guys seriously are asking for a total revamp to a system like Europe. It's not possible. Obamacare ACA is the only thing at this point. And let me say quickly, when I talk about communism, socialism, and capitalism, okay, that there is no true – we are a socialist country like every country in the world, okay? So when people say that I say certain things that are absolute, that's not true. What we keep saying is how far to move the pendulum. That's what everybody
okay.
talks about, how far to move the pendulum.
Thank you, John. And as usual, keep coming back. We love your input. I think we get a whole lot out of all these things. Thank you, buddy. Hey, Nico, give me a closing statement.
Keep up the good work and, break out. Let's get some new opinions here,
Excellent,
break it out.
And keep coming
yeah.
back, buddy. John, closing statement.
Yeah, I just want to, give support for what you're doing. I read your blogs quite a bit, and I enjoy what you're doing. I think your opinion about single payer is right on. I just want to repeat that it is a moral issue, that it has been accepted thoroughly throughout Europe, throughout the countries, most industrialized countries, most prosperous countries in Asia. And it will be accepted, Obamacare will be accepted, and eventually single payer will be adapted because the evolution will occur. There's no doubt about it. As younger people are much more skeptical of pure unregulated capital. You see that with the Occupy protests. Capitalism is great. I believe in capitalism. I believe that some things should be heavily regulated, like the financial complex, like the medical industry. I feel that single payer is the best system, but if people want to have insurance like in Italy, I believe that should be possibly allowed also. But we also have to remember that I do feel that part of this may be a little bit controversial, but Michael Moore talked about it in his movie did about the healthcare system, that I do feel that the doctors are overpaid in America, and that it does contribute to the problem. If you look at the European doctors, they are still paid, they still have tremendous income. They still live in, drive Mercedes and live, high lifestyles. They're still in the upper class. They're still in the top 5 to 10%, and they love the system. That's why the people wouldn't even dream of the system. With all the austerity measures, their health care, socialized medicine has continued to stay. I mean, it's a tragedy when things are taken away from people. And I hope Europe, finally comes to its senses and moves away from austerity. And it's great to see the IMF, who was always, has been wrong about austerity, tell the Americans that sequestration is hurting the economy. And
right.
So right. I think we should look at the European example, Australian example, Japanese example. This will succeed. This will be accepted. It'll be loved within 5 to 10 years, and it'll be Obama's biggest accomplishment without a doubt. And hopefully we'll have a president within, 5 to 10 years that will implement single payer.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And I that's my goal, single payer, buddy. Okay, Jack Golden, closing statement. But before Jack, you come in, You remember that, what is his name, Rogoff, I believe is his name, Reinhardt and Rogoff, the fraudulent paper that austerity is necessary after a 95% tip is really what I think worsened the economic problems in Europe when they followed that fraudulent paper. Take a look at that. I've blogged about it as well. Jack, closing statement.
Okay.
30 seconds, my brother.
What we need to do is single payer would be the one of the solutions, and then also as far as drugs, going to being able to buy drugs from Canada or England or France or whatever needs to be a lot cheaper than the most expensive thing. And then doctors need to stop with the test, constant testing over this and that.
And, you're so right.
More
Jack,
with, more with that.
My fault, but I'm running out of time. My fault, but I'm running out of time, so I have to run to Megan and Joe, okay? Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Megan, you're next. Closing statement.
I won't say much. I want to encourage people listening here to learn about something that's just come up peripherally in our discussion, which is the industrial food system and all the things it can do to you. That's really your first line of health insurance. And I think that's probably enough. Thanks. Very interesting conversation we've had today.
Thank you very much for calling in. I hope you come back. Folks, I forgot to tell you guys, please share the show on your Facebook pages. Just share a link to the show that I posted on Facebook. That way we can build our audience and build more people coming in and continue to not only have a good discussion, but, you know, get the type of information out with all the polluted stuff that's on right-wing radio. We really need good information out there. And I just love the kind of callers that I get here and the kind of callers that I get inside of the chat room. Joe, you're going to close us out today.
Hey, Gerardo, you had a great show. Sorry we missed out on Syria, but we could pick it up on another one. You really need a little longer show. I've got to admit it. Touch on the health care with the Europeans. The United States is an infant as a nation compared to the countries of Europe. They adapted as societies to tremendous physical and health problems, wars, plagues. I look at them as their medical system as an example of what the result of all that is. Since we haven't, I think your average person isn't aware of how important it should be for all of us. You know? And it was a great show.
Thank you very much, Joe Pomponi. And you know what? We feel, and I know all of us here feel back to normal now that you are a regular on the show. So you know you can't keep those absences. Next week, folks, I'm going to be at Netroots. I'm going to ask Dan and someone else to co-host the show for me. I'll definitely try to find a quiet spot and call into the show and be a part of it as well if I can. Hopefully there won't be anything at that time. So I'll be representing us well at Netroots in San Jose. So guys, thank you very much for spending part of your Saturday with me. I'd like to tell you a little bit about some of our other shows and get into it as we speak. Remember, on Mondays at 10 p.m., we have Press 1 for Democracy with Dan Aronson. We have on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. 8 p.m. Eastern Time, The Middle Ground with Michael Charney and Eric Beiler. At Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, we have Lunch with Loudon. That's the young lady that called in earlier. And Saturday, she's on the board of directors. And Saturdays, you're with yours truly, Egberto Willis, Politics Done Right. Please remember, help our 535 project. Please join Coffee Party. Please become a sustaining member. We have a lot of things working both by ourselves and with some of our partners. Remember, it's not they who will change this country. It is we who will change this country and make it better for the middle class. Have a wonderful, wonderful Saturday.